Amen. Please be seated. And if you'd open your Bibles, I'm going to speak this morning from the first chapter of the book of Romans. I'm going to read and preach verses 1 to 4. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, listen now to God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we now pray in the name of the risen Christ that your Spirit would bless the preaching of your word. Lift up the hearts of your people. Bring glory to yourself. Save those who are dead in sin. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christian faith proclaims and relies upon a unique person, a single unique person. And in the opening verses of the book of Romans, considered by many to be Paul's greatest exposition of the gospel, he immediately sets forth who this person is. He says, concerning God's Son, which was promised through the prophets beforehand, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now notice that this person is the Son of God. He is declared to be God's Son. And it's the conviction that Jesus Christ, that man who grew up in a town in Palestine so long ago and who died upon a cross, that he was the eternal Son of God. And we claim this and we rely upon this being true. If it is not true, everything that we hope in vain. But Paul declares he is God's Son. Moreover, he is the promised King. He is the long-expected Messiah. He is the royal Lord who comes to bring the blessings of God's salvation and to bring them to his people. He proclaims the kingship of royal Jesus. If that is not true, then we have believed in vain. If the prophecies of the Savior, of the Messiah King, are not true, oh, but they are true. And thirdly, he is the incarnate God-man who was born according to the flesh. Notice he says he was born according to the flesh. What's that going on? The very God of very God, the eternal divine Son, became a true human being. He lived in weakness. He suffered humiliation. Primarily, he came according to the flesh in order that he might die on the cross and that his death would be for the forgiveness of all those people who believe in him. This is the unique person we celebrate this morning, the Son of God, the Messianic King, the God-man who is our mediator with God, the one in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. But what I want to point out this morning is notice the statement that Paul makes at the end in verse 4. Namely, that this is declared, it is true, it has always been true. But it is declared in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is known henceforth as the one who was raised from the dead. And if you read in the book of Acts, you will see the constant theme that they proclaim is that this Jesus Christ, God has raised from the dead. Those are the words of Peter preaching the first Christian sermon on Pentecost. Jesus has raised him from the dead. And of course, the claims that he made were not believed. That is why he was crucified. He claimed to be God's Son on that charge. He was handed over, delivered to be crucified by the Jewish leaders because they considered it blasphemy. It could not be believed that this person was actually God, God in the flesh. And it was that, you remember, he was mocked during his trial. The Roman soldiers put a crown of thorns upon him, and they beat him, and Pilate put upon the cross, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. And it was a scornful thing, and yet it is proved by the resurrection. Perhaps mostly significant for us. You know, many people died on crosses in the ancient world. The reason that we have forgiveness of sin is that this person was the Son of God, and his death was the death of the innocent Lamb of God, long foretold, that his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. All of these things were doubted. All of these things are doubted today. These are the things that we are bold to proclaim. And the Christian faith is a rather remarkable faith, isn't it? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the King of heaven and earth. His kingdom shall have no end. His death shed the blood of forgiveness for everyone who believes. What a remarkable religion you and I are gathered for this morning. Oh, but you see, we know that it is true. It has been declared in power, Paul said, when he was raised from the dead. Oh, he was the Son of God. Because in himself is the power of irresistible life, invincible life. He is the King. He declares it by his conquest over death and hell. Oh, his blood was shed. It was received by God the Father as the atonement for our sins. How can we know that? My friends, it is our message this morning. Jesus Christ is risen. He is known as the resurrection man. Listen to what was preached in Acts 13. What God promised to the Father, to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I do want to point out, before I apply this, an interesting thing that Paul says in this passage. You will notice that he said, I mentioned it earlier, that he was descended from David according to the flesh. And then he is declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness. Now, I think most people take that to mean that Jesus was raised by the Holy Spirit. Well, the Bible is going to say he raised himself up. The Bible is going to say that God raised him up. The Holy Spirit gave power to do that. It was a work of the whole Trinity. That is not what Paul's saying here. He's making a contrast. Jesus was born according to the flesh. He was born in weakness. He was born not in a manifestation of his own glory, but in humility. He was born in poverty. He was born in an obscurity in a little village where he was considered nothing and a nobody. He was born according to the flesh, but now you see he has been raised in a different mode of existence. Now he is raised according to the Spirit of holiness in power. And that means that we not only say as we celebrate Easter Sunday and the resurrection of Jesus, oh, everything he did and everything he said was true. Amen. It is true. He is this person. Not only has he proved it by rising from the dead, but he has now entered into the mode of his glory. He has now entered into the mode of his power. He has entered now into the mode of his distribution of the Holy Spirit. One scholar puts it, he now has been endued with the power of the Holy Spirit that he might give it to us. And my friends, this is a message for us in our pandemic. This is a message for us in 2020 on Easter Sunday. He was known by his resurrection, the one thing that proves and displays and manifests and brings him into a higher mode of messianic kingship. He was raised, declared in power to be the Son of God, and now he lives according to the Spirit of holiness in power. Well, here's my simple message this morning for all of us, Second Presbyterian Church, Mountain View Baptist, anybody else who's watching. What is needed among the people of God, what is our privilege to be in these troubled times, is that as Jesus was known for the resurrection, that's how look, the book of Acts makes it clear. How do we know this? What's his calling card? What's the proof of the pudding? Oh, he was raised from the dead. He conquered the grave. Death could not hold him. We now have the privilege that we would be Easter people, even in the midst of pandemic. It is the faith and the life and the power of this resurrection that will not only validate all that we say, all that we claim in the midst of the world, but also a higher life, even in the shroud of death. Jesus was known by his resurrection. We will be known by our faith in and the reality of Christ's resurrection. We will be known as Easter people. Now, what do I mean by speaking that way? Well, what I mean is this, that we are people whose lives bear the power and reality of the hope of the resurrection. These are strange times. I certainly, like you, would like them to end in a safe and positive way, and I have reasonable hopes that that will happen. And then we worry, what's going to happen to our world? What's going to happen to our jobs? What's going to happen to our country? Has the world order been shaken? Maybe. But you see, the Christian says, no. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he is coming back. And my future hope is not bound up in anything of this world. It cannot be lost by any tragedy that should shake us. It cannot be gained by any earthly success. No, my victory is that I am going to be raised from the dead. I am joined to Jesus Christ through faith, and his resurrection is my resurrection. And whatever happens, I certainly care. But you see, I am vested from the fear and the downward pull of these earthly times, and I live by faith in the hope of the resurrection. One way this works out, when Jesus was teaching these things in Matthew 25, he was talking about not only his resurrection, but the second coming. The two are bound together, as our hymn, right, we just sang, shows. And he says, our perspective on life is like those servants of a master who went away, and before he left, he gave us talents. He gave us resources. He gave us spiritual gifts. He gave us the gospel. And he says, I'm going to go away, and you're to employ these things. You're to do the work of my kingdom. The family business in which we are in is that of God the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus. And when he comes back, you see, we live now looking to a future with a risen Lord Jesus, and the words we live for now are the ones we trust we will hear by faith. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. We are delivered from the pull of the world with its fear and anxiety and strife, because our hope is in the resurrection when Jesus returns, our master. And so to be Easter people in the pandemic is to be people whose perspective on success and deliverance and salvation is the saving work of the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross, the power broken in through the open grave, and then his soon return in our own resurrection. Now, secondly, it means that we ourselves then are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If he was raised, declared to be Son of God in power by the resurrection in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that means that we claim, in fact, it's true, as we are joined to Jesus Christ in faith, we now are indwelt by the power from on high that he has given. We are not like the disciples were when Jesus was arrested before he took up the mode of Spirit-giving Lord. And they were frightened and they scattered and they each went their own way. Oh, let's not do that, Christians, in the pandemic. Let's reveal the family traits, the new DNA of those who are born again. You see, we claim to be the children of God. People say, what do you mean that you're the children of God? They're to see it, that we are Easter people. They're to see the power of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus rose from the grave that he might deploy. That power is seen in our lives, righteousness, peace, and joy, faith, hope, and love. The power of grace and truth and light in our souls. There is a power for a new and gracious life. Now, let me give you a couple examples of this. And the one that comes to mind is the author of this text, the first one. And he refers to himself in this passage, the Apostle Paul. Was there a figure in the time of Jesus who was more driven by the strife of this world, a man of contention, a man of hatred, a man of party spirit, of the zero-sum game, us versus them, my way or the highway? Was there anyone who more imbibed the spirit of this evil age than Saul of Tarsus? But you see, he was going down the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians because they were the other side. And he met Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And look how he now describes himself. Verse 1, he says, I'm a servant of Christ Jesus. I am called to be an apostle, a messenger. I have been set apart for the gospel of God. If you said to me, what does it mean to be an Easter person, an Easter man, an Easter woman in the pandemic, that we in this setting have been set apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ? That our goal in these troubled times is that he would have glory. His power of love and grace and truth would be seen in our life, and that his gospel will prosper. My friends, these are prosperous times for eternal life. Oh, I hope that's so in your life. I don't know. I'm not the exegete of all that God is doing, but I know this. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Oh, I hope he has found and saved you. Paul wanted people to know Jesus. Paul wanted people to experience the power of his resurrection. Oh, let that be our aspiration in these times. That Christ would be known, that his power would be felt, that his gospel word would go forth, and through faith that sinners would be saved. And of course, as an Easter person, as the Easter people, our perspective changes. I think of just random statements that Paul made, but there's a pattern. Philippians 4, he said, I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. He says, I'm not changed by the ups and downs. Social distancing has not stolen my capacity to love. The fear of these things, and there are fearful things, I'm not telling you not to be prudent. But he says, I know how to handle them. I know how to be blessed. I know how to be troubled. I can do all things. This is what he means there. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's the kind of people we are. Why? Because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. I think of Paul also in 2 Corinthians 4:13. These light and momentary tribulations. Read 2 Corinthians. His light momentary tribulations included being beaten with rods. The troubles of this world, death itself, these light momentary trials are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all compare. Do you believe that? Well, if we can begin the day by saying he is risen indeed, then we know there is a better day. There is a better world. These are troubled times. Let's love each other. Let's be praying. They are hard in many ways. But let's live in the knowledge that it's a light moment. It's fleeting. And it's our union with Christ in faith, the resurrected Jesus, that we have an eternal weight of glory beyond all compare. And then I think it's his personal motto. I think if Paul had a card with his name on it, the Apostle Paul, and he had a verse there, it'd be Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I'm in the flesh. I can be killed. I can suffer. I can be discouraged. I live a true human life in the pandemic. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for my sins. Let me give you briefly a more recent example. It's Charles Colson, not a very likable person. He was Richard Nixon's hatchet man. And he got his power by being the guy who could handle people, and not nicely. He himself would admit he would smear, he would slander, he would deceive and distort. And then he went to prison as part of the Watergate trials. And on his way, it's kind of a long story, it's a wonderful one. This man, he himself said he was an utterly immoral person. No moral foundation, just power, strife, constant war, and he was good at it. That's how he made his fortune. But he was broken by his exposure of his sins. And a friend took time to tell him about Jesus and his blood upon the cross. He was actually converted before he went to prison and didn't mention his Christianity in his trials. He just pled guilty, just confessed his sins, pled guilty, went to prison. And this man of strife, he remained a flawed man, but a man who was given to societal warfare and we versus they, us versus them. He devoted the rest of his life to bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to men and women in prison. There was a new power, a new perspective. It was Easter. That this life is not the end. It's not the be end all. The resurrection of Jesus brings a new world. He was no longer. See, this is what should be said of us. Paul said, I am a servant. I am set apart for the gospel. I am now on a mission of grace and mercy that the love of Jesus would come and the gospel of salvation grace would save. That's what it means for us to be the Easter people. When Colson died just a few years ago at the age of 80, the newspapers, all the newspapers, one headline was Nixon's hatchet man dies at 80. Watergate convict enters the grave. You see, they didn't understand. But the power of grace was evident in and through his life. Here's my message. What is needed in our pandemic are Easter people. People who are the children of God. But how are they to know that we're the children of God? By the Spirit of holiness in the power of Christ, that we show the family love of God the Father and Jesus Christ. We claim that we are servants of the King. How will they know that we are when it is his resurrection kingdom? Oh, light for those in darkness, love for those who've never known it, a message of forgiveness and hope and the power to change, that we are servants of Christ Jesus, messengers sent by him, that we are set apart for the gospel of his grace. Well, these are interesting times. In so many ways, things are different. There are many elevating things. There are always examples in these times, and it's a real blessing. Selfless service. We think of our medical professionals right now, how they honor us all, and there can be a spirit of unity. And yet, so many things are still the same. It's funny if there's these websites that are aggregators of political stories. And I sometimes go to them just to get a picture of the world. The first article will say, Trump is the messianic savior saving America. The next article will say, Trump is a convict with blood on his hands. I'm going, I don't think we're seeing the same thing. And it's every issue. Left, right, up, down, white, black, the whole thing. Strife, contention. Oh, it's still going on in the pandemic. And we wonder, will life be the same? I heard Dr. Fauci, the president's medical advisor, said, in the future, we'll no longer be able to shake hands. I confess to you, I personally am not willing to give it up yet. I'm willing to be a faithful citizen. And we say, are things going to be different? My friends, what we need are Easter people. This is an opportunity. We're not glad for people suffering and many dying. But my friends, this whole world is coming to an end. But Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Let us be the Easter people who in our lives display not our power, but his power. Because he is risen from the dead in the spirit of holiness. He is declared in power. This is our message today. That Jesus Christ is declared in power by the spirit of holiness through his resurrection from the dead. That he is the Son of God. He is that long-awaited King who brings peace to the hearts of men and women. He is the Savior of those who are lost in sin. Let's be Easter children of God. Let's be Easter servants of the King. Let's be Easter witnesses of the resurrection hope. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus lives. And he lives in the mode of power. And so, Lord, we preach and we witness and we share your word of God because we know that now he attends it with the power of the Holy Spirit and men and women are saved. People like us, our lives are changed. And what joy we have to know that we are servants of a king with power in his hand. And it is not the power of strife and contention and death and hatred and division, but of love. Of forgiveness, of life, of grace. Oh, Father, this Easter, would we imbibe of that spirit? And in these troubled times, in this pandemic, oh, we pray for your mercy. Would you cause it? Would you relent? Would you cause it to abate? Oh, but Father, in these times, let us be the Easter people in whose lives the power of his resurrection is seen. that that power might come and infect others with life. We pray this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.